Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
And welcome to another edition of Your Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. Before we begin, please be advised discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed here are my opinions only, or the opinions of any people I interview, or the authors of articles I may read. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Cambridge, its staff, members, or underwriters. It's a hit. And welcome to the 239th edition of Money Matters, called A Fall Diatribe. This show is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it or little of it or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way or another. It controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. In short, it's about you. Thanks for joining me. 239 annual shows. Monthly shows, bi-monthly shows, over 1,000 newscasts carried on about 35 to 40 stations throughout the United States. Thank you very much. We would be nowhere without our listeners. And you can pick us up in Woodland at 104.7 FM or Truckee at 105.1 FM. And our website, kvmar.org, where you can learn all about what's going on at KVMR, your radio station, and direct all questions, comments about the show to the program director at whatever radio station you're hearing the show on. So, yeah, fall diatribe today. Don't think this show is going to make everybody happy. But, hey, you know, that's what it's about, right? Anyway, if you'd like to help out families in this upcoming Thanksgiving season, you can get information on how to do that at moneymanagementradio.com. You can also subscribe to our newsletter, A Grata, at the same website, moneymanagementradio.com, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. No charges there whatsoever. So, yeah, how's everybody doing today? The Dow, well, you know, we keep talking about the Dow. 18,192.69, 12:12 p.m. Thursday, October 20th, 2016. If you're listening to the show at a different time or date, obviously the indices that I read to you may not be accurate at the time. Phone number's in the booth, 530-265-9555. You're welcome to call anytime, of course. And as we cover in all shows, 18,000 on the Dow, the Dow 30, the largest, what they deem most influential 30 stocks in the Dow Jones Industrial Average are measured on the Dow 30, and it sits at 18,192, and we've covered before these large numbers, like 18,000, 17,000, 19,000, which we've never hit, are resistance and support levels, and I remind that fact to you at every beginning of every show. And so, because we're over 18,000 at 18,192, then 18,000 is a support level on the way down. So we haven't breached into the 17,000s and closed there for a while. And if we do, some theorists would say that that is a sign that we're going lower. Some would say, but nobody knows. You know, what the hell, I don't. If it's on the way up, let's say we breach 18,000 on the way down and we stay in the 17,000s for, I don't know, week, 2 weeks, then coming up through 18,000 would be known as resistance. It's hard to get through those big numbers. So we look at those rather big numbers for indications, nothing for sure, but indications of which way the Dow will go in the future. And so, yeah, alternative energy, Coal, oil, you know, they're all kind of in the dirt. Although we did an article, I think we did an article that I wrote for a variety of newspapers on coal. So we'll cover that if we have time at the end of the show. And we'll cover a little bit more about bonds if I have time. So today's a full diatribe. What's a diatribe? Well, a diatribe is like a rant or a, you know, a complaint. Could be another word. I could use a B word, but don't know if I could say that. There's seven words I can't say, and you know what they are, so I ain't going to say them. You know, it's funny about the radio. You also can't imply things like you can say particular words that are okay to say, but if you surround them by other words that indicate something lurid, lucid. Lurid or lucid? I don't know. Lurid. I think it's lurid. Then they can get you for that, too, and the fines are stiff. And that comes from the fines were actually increased after the Janet Jackson Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction. So they made the fines very stiff. So I got to watch myself. Got to be careful. We used to have a underwriter. And it was about pheasant pluckers. And the name of the thing was, they had two P names in front of it. So it was blank, blank. Pheasant pluckers. I tell you what, as a broadcaster, you had to be real careful reading that one, man. I mean, it was, you had to be very careful. I think they did it just to screw you up. So, I don't think I can say the true name because they're not an underwriter anymore, but in any case. So, we got to be careful. So, my diatribe is as follows. And, you know, this is a combination of opinions and, you know, just kind of a rant here. And so tell me what you think. We'll play a little music to get you in the mood first. It's one of my favorite bands in the 80s, Warrant. We got a great guitar solo here, man. It's coming. It's great. Rocks, baby. Here it comes.
Money than you have ever seen. Maybe I just want all the friends. I'm gonna insulate my body in cream. I'm gonna light my cigarettes with $100 bills. Ow!
Yeah, you know, that guitar solo never seems to get old on me, you know. I've been playing guitar since I've been about six. And, you know, still practice every night. And, you know, I can pretty much duplicate anything I can hear if I play it over and over long enough. But I've never tried to duplicate that guitar lead because I've listened to it, you know, hundreds of times, and it is really out there. I mean, it's not a standard lead. It has some hammering on there, and it's a really cool lead. I think someday I'm going to sit down and learn it. Because of the overdubbing, you really can't hear the whole thing clearly, so it's going to be tough to copy, but man, it is very complicated. It doesn't sound like it to most people, but well, you study that thing, and it is definitely convoluted for sure. So we'll play it again maybe a little later in the show. You could hear it again. What the heck? So years ago, a nation repressed. Our nation. Overtaxation by the monarchs. Too much in-your-face meddling by the so-called rulers over there. And just basically having had enough, a group decided to flee their homeland in search of a new one. And come here. Across the treacherous Pacific, they came. Here to America. Boat after boat arrived, not without peril, of course. Peril, by the way, is cause of loss. Did you know that? Yeah. Insurance terms. Peril, cause of loss. Some drowned. Others eaten by natives because they landed somewhere else, I suppose. Disease took some, and those that did arrive had to survive harsh winters, unknown perils, and hostile inhabitants, in some cases. But came they did, traversing further west until the whole nation was conquered, or inhabited, as one might say. They established new rules. They even fought off the rulers from their old stomping grounds. When the British tried to impose an across-the-ocean tax grab. Since no army can really inhabit another's land for long, the ruler in Britain eventually gave up and said to hell with them. So the newly found nation penned its constitution in the Articles and set off to live a life based on the concept of liberty. Some say democracy. But democracy has its flaws. Preposterous, some say. How could democracy be flawed? After all, what is better than the will of the majority? Well, I can also call that mob rule, right? If my mob has more people than your mob, we rule. That's called strength in numbers, and that is the epitome of democracy. The greater numbers get their way. But democracy flawed? Maybe. Think the proverbial two wolves and a lamb deciding on what to have for dinner. The majority, of course, the two wolves, would have lamb chops for dinner under the rule of democracy. After all, they will win the vote. But the poor lamb, being a minority, will forfeit his liberty and likely his life to satisfy the mob, aka the democratic decision. Ah, but others might say liberty is where the vote is taken. But the lamb in this case is well armed. And has the means to defend itself and its rights from the ruling mob, in this case, the two wolves. The lamb's liberty and therefore his rights are now defended by him, by his right to bear arms. That is the lamb's right, and it works out pretty well for the lamb. The wolves, on the other hand, will have to consider another alternative, and one that doesn't trample another one's rights. We can conclude also that democracy might not work for you so well if it's your rights and your liberties being violated by the majority. Liberty could then be thought of as you have the right to do what you want, as long as it doesn't infringe on the rights of another. Now that, to me, sounds like a better deal. The wolves have the right to want to eat the lamb, but if the lamb objects, because his rights would be infringed upon, because basically he would die, the wolves cannot proceed with dinner. So the wolves, under liberty, cannot exercise their rights to a lamb stew, despite having the majority, as that would infringe on the lamb's right to life. One could draw it out a bit further and say, you have the right to want to help out someone, but you don't have the right to force another to do so, even if it might seem to be the right thing to do. Liberty is not based on what you think. It's based on a concept, an exclusive, unwavering concept. The same could be said for taxes. Same could be said for taxes. You have the right to vote on a tax that you would pay, but you don't have the right to vote on a tax another would pay, especially if you don't pay it yourself. You want a tax to help the homeless? Go ahead and pay it. It is your right. But you can't force another to pay it. That infringes on his right to keep his money. In any case, you can bet it wasn't the lamb who said, give me democracy or give me death. In fact, nobody said that. But there was a wise man who's insisted, give me liberty or give me death. There's a big difference between democracy and liberty. They are not the same. Just ask the lamb. One tramples rights in the long run. The other ensures them forever. You're listening to Money Matters. We'll be right back. Ooh, oh. Sunday morning ever.
and some days pass on by. I'll be working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living, working, working for a living. They're giving cause I'm working for a living. Hey, I'm not complaining cause I really need to work, but hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working, working for a living.
Ah, yes, Huey Lewis. I went to school with a lot of these guys. I grew up in Marin. I mean, musicians just running all over the place. Went to school with Mario Cipollino and John Cipollino. Mario Cipollino plays bass, or did, for Huey Lewis and the News. Neil Schoen used to live next door to Greg Rolie, the guy who sings Black Magic Woman with Santana and formed the group Journey. And I almost bought a house next to Steve Perry in San Anselmo, the lead singer for Journey for a long time. List goes on. I have a guitar that I bought at Prune Music in Mill Valley that was actually played by Michael Bloomfield in my presence when I walked in as a 16-year-old kid. So there you go. Anyway, so the nation thrived for the first few hundred years, some could argue by stripping the land of its resources, like locusts. Others would argue that the people thrive by doing what people do, which is evolving, working, inventing, innovating, and growing in numbers. Yes, we always seem to grow in numbers. In the early years, those ruling the country kept true to the founding fathers' ideals, which was exercising liberty and keeping the ruling class under wraps. They didn't want a repeat of the British monarchy. The initial reason those so long ago fled under the extreme hardship and sacrifice. Not all societies in the world are democratic, of course, nor do few practice real liberty. Man's propensity and woman's propensity to want power sees to that, get more power. After all, give a person power and all he wants is more of it. People like to meddle, especially in other people's businesses, thinking they know best what's good for the world. Once upon a time, a man, a rather evil man, who didn't believe in either democracy or liberty, said, quite intelligently, and with incredible foresight and understanding of the human condition, he said, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote itself largesse out of the public treasury, and until politicians realize they can bribe the people with their own money. Simple, simple words, yet never truer. These words hold the key to movement and change in the human condition, and not a change for the better, in my opinion. The founders of this country left Britain because of this simple fact and established rules to preventing it from happening again. Yet the nation was well on its way to becoming again like Britain. The so-called do-gooders, the world improvers, and the meddlers slowly worked their way into the fabric of government in this new land. Well, not so new. We've been around for 200 plus years, of course. But working their way into government, they have. A founding father knew this tendency of man to ruin the best laid plans of man. When uttering, shortly after being asked, Mr. Franklin, what have we got, sir, a republic or a monarchy? He said, a republic, if you can keep it. Keep it indeed. As this nation progressed through the 1700s and the 1800s, progressed we did. The most prosperous time ever for this country, most would say. Even the start of the 1900s were pretty darn good, with the invention of the assembly line and other innovations. Truly, the United States back then ruled the planet in progress and freedom. Ah, but those meddlers again. You're raping the countryside, they said. You're walking on human rights. with someone getting rich, and that is not fair. Everyone should be equal. Well, that's not quite what was originally said. What was originally said, that all men are born equal, but didn't necessarily end up that way. So the meddlers had to do something about it again, insisting they make the rules that others have to follow. Now think back to our liberty discussion. Remember, the meddlers do have the right to think what they want, and they have the right to act on what they want to act on. Yet under the rule of liberty, they have no cause, for the most part, to make others act. True, some may be infringing on the rights of others, and wrongly so. But it is infringement. That is the issue. We don't infringe on others because they are infringing on us or someone else. That just makes the problem worse. What we do is stop the original transgression. We stop the original infringement, not make more infringement. In any case, democracy took hold in the United States over liberty somewhere in the early 1900s, replacing the idea of liberty ever so slowly. The meddlers saw things they wanted to change by forcing their ideas down the gullets of others. They view the world through their utopian glasses, where everyone gets a new car, a home, and a chicken in every pot or something like that. Now, however, it's everyone deserves a cell phone. My, have times have changed. Never mind who works and who doesn't. Those not working must want to work, right? Well, I would say not everyone not working want to work. Some don't want to work. And some just don't want to work as hard as another. It's human nature, not inequality. But the original need to work stemmed from hunger. If thou shalt not eat, if thou shalt not work, thou shalt not eat. The law of nature, not of man. Nature knew something simple. Nothing motivates like hunger. Some don't want to work, but give them an empty stomach and they will want to work. Trust me on this one. Ah, but those people with better ideas than me decide on things like, let's tax them and everyone will vote on the tax, although only a few think the lamb will actually pay the tax. It's easy to pass the tax, especially if you won't pay it. That's the most painless tax of all. Just ask the mob. They will gladly vote on a tax they don't have to pay. That's democracy for you. It works out very well, except if you are an unarmed lamb. Remember, liberty is the right to pay your money to help someone if you want to, but you can't force another to do so. That infringes on his right to keep his money. Now, to some of you out there, liberty doesn't sound so good anymore, does it? Especially if you are a meddler. Well, liberty actually still sounds good to me. But your world-improving DNA is showing there, Agnes. Yes, let's make someone else pay their fair share because we think and know what's fair. After all, $2 million a year in salary is too much. That's not fair. And who decides what another man needs? Not that other man, of course. That's too simplistic. Let the mob decide what's fair. It's better for the wolves that way. Never mind the lamb. And there aren't many lambs anyway. That is not liberty, Missy. That's mob rule, and it didn't work out so well for 6 million Jews a few decades ago. So let's do an exercise and vote on an issue. How many think that group over there should pay more tax? Most of you? Yep, I thought so. Well, there you have it then. It's lamb for dinner. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station.
Thank you.
And you're tuned to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniverti. Thanks for joining me today. So on with our fall diatribe. So more people on food stamps than ever before, and more people than ever before, and more money being spent on food stamps than ever before, and more money being spent on poor people than ever before. So why do we have so many people on food stamps than ever before and more poor people than ever before? Well, you could argue pay a man to stay home and he will stay home. That's what welfare does, some argue. Pay a woman to have children and some will have children? Maybe. Have lots of people vote on taxes they won't pay themselves and you will have a lot of taxes, and that's what we have, a lot of taxes. Have a lot of taxes and some people will go broke and end up poor and needing welfare and assistance, and that's what we have. More poor people, more people on welfare, and more people needing assistance. Tax people who make more and they will make less to avoid the taxes, and that's what we have, more people working less. Our tax structure says the more you make, the more you pay. So I will make less money and then work less. How is that for incentive? If I make more, you will take more, so I won't work more, and that's what we have, right? Less people working, more assistance programs, more people needing assistance, and more people asking for assistance. The models call for it, the results prove it, yet few people may see it. We do have another cause for people going poor, which is the Federal Reserve printing up more money and causing inflation, which drive more people into the poorhouse. But that is a story for another day. So once again, class, you will be tested. Having a tax structure that punishes you for working more and making more money and rewards you for working less and making less. No one would argue that's how the tax system works in today's world, because that's the way it does. I don't think that sort of punishment reward system would work with my kids. The more my kid works in the yard, the more I take from him. The less my kid works, the less I take from him. How about doing the opposite, a radical change to the tax law? How about a graduated tax that gives people incentive to work? Incentive to work more, not less. The more you make, the less you pay. Yeah, we cap it somehow and tweak the fine print, but the incentive is geared, is at least it's geared in the right direction. Cut more lawns, you pay less tax. Flip more burgers, you pay less tax. On the flip side, you want to stay home and not work much? You pay through the teeth and you go hungry. More reason to get off your blank and get a job. Any job. Want to work a few extra hours to contribute to our great economy? Great. You pay less tax. Take a second job to make more? You pay even less. Now that's a plan that I could get behind. While they run me out of town, of course. It's a basic Pavlovian response tax, however, so simple and logical it boggles the mind who fail to see why it works. Work more, pay less, so people would work more. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. Now, when we get to our guitar lead, we're going to play that again so you can listen to it in more detail. So the Dow, 86,166, still above 18,000. My name's Mark. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. And occasionally I air a show and people don't agree with what I say, and that's okay. You know, program director here years ago said, Mark, the more people listen to your show, the more people are going to like that don't like you. The more people are going to like the show, the more people are going to not like the show. Everybody's always got an opinion, right? Something else we know. So we sit and do the show. Been doing the show since 2005 through the grace of our wonderful staff here that allows me to be on the air and yak. And so, it's interesting. Don't forget, if you want to help the unfortunate for Thanksgiving, information on moneymanagementradio.com is there. And I believe... We're how many days from Thanksgiving? I know we're a couple of weeks away from the election. Anyway, here comes our guitar lead again. I want you to listen carefully, especially you guitar players out there. Very, very complicated. Doesn't sound it, but it is. I'm gonna have more.
money than you have ever seen. Maybe I just want all the friends. I'm gonna insulate my body in cream. I'm gonna light my cigarettes.
Now here it comes.
With $100 bills. Ow.
Ah, Warrant. Never gets old on me. Never. I can listen to that lead repeatedly. Especially the middle part where they do the hammering on. It's just, man, I don't know what he was on. That's dub, so there's two guitars in there. He's playing both, I think. It's great. So, with the elections coming up, what? Not very many days away. What, 16, 17 days? Whoa. Anybody see the debate last night? Holy macro. There's some economic stuff in there. Not a lot. Economic stuff in there. So now we choose between a reality TV star accused of molesting women, and the power-crazed wife of an ex-president supposedly accused of murder. Think this Vince Foster, folks. Look it up for those that are too young. Yeah, I know, no proof, but come on. Anyone out there think Hillary or the Donald or Saints? Shall we vote on this? Well, yes, eventually we will. After all, what's so bad about murder and womanizing? Presidents have done both since the beginning. Look at JFK and his philandering. Rumors surrounded FDR, Thomas Jefferson, Lyndon Johnson, Dwight Eisenhower, even one of the Bushes, and the list goes on. Talking about affairs, did you know that Vince Foster, his connection to the Clintons was primarily via Hillary rather than Bill? Vince and Hillary had been partners together at the Rose Law Firm, and allegations of an ongoing affair had persisted from the Little Rock days to the White House itself. Killed to bury an affair? Or killed because of a shady lands transaction? Both pretty lurid stuff, and definitely illegal if forced death was a factor. Especially if the rumors are true and Hillary had a hand in it or pulled the trigger herself. No proof, of course. No proof. People see to that sort of thing. But what about not-so-direct murder by the ones in the Oval Office? What do you call a drone strike? Mass bombing? Condoned assassinations? Come on, folks. All this stuff is in a day's work in the Oval Office. So why do we act so aghast? What's sad is that we act like it's a major transgression when it happens, and we forgive and forget after a while. Such is the forgiveness and the memory of the electorate. Think the Nixon pardon, the banksters with no jail time, Clinton's perjury, and the Bush's so-called weapons of mass destruction hidden in Iraq. We forgive and forget, but not in 4 weeks' time. Don't try this at home, though. Only the elite get free get-out-of-jail cards. The average Joe, you get no such gratuity. Trump's problem is the news just came out, and not enough time has passed. Hillary's good fortune is that many voting for her weren't even out of diapers when Vince Foster committed suicide, somehow with his arms neatly folded, so I read somewhere. Hell, we even pardoned perjury from Hillary's husband, as well as his defaming the Oval Office with his hot August night fiascos. Is it possible he did it on the Oval rug? On the presidential seal, so often seen in the Oval Office photos. That's just too much information. Yuck. I apologize for that. So a reality TV star billionaire accused of molesting women versus a over 100 millionaire power mad political lifer. This is what we've come to. It's no wonder some people don't vote. Well, no matter who you do vote for, folks, you get the government you deserve. That comes to mind, and trust me, you will on this one. You ain't seen nothing yet. I, an overfed, short-haired leaping gnome, there's an old song like that. College-educated and life-skilled in many things, but woodworking and political correctness not one of them, I predict, and likely rather accurately if I get lucky, that at the end of four more years, there will be no improvement in welfare, no improvement in the people on food stamps, the poor, the super rich, and the mega banks. It will be worse. The names and titles of those blamed for our ills may change, but the blame finger, that's the index finger, not the middle one, will still be pointed away from the person pointing it, the one sitting in the Oval Office. After all, it's always somebody else's fault now, right? Certainly seems that way. We're presidents are involved. You listen to Money Matters. We'll be right back.
We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You've done us wrong. We never see a headline but a red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can let that guy right in the eye. We're in the money. Come on, my honey. Let's spend it, spend it, spend it right on bond.
So where will the markets go after the election? We do not know. Common belief among many is a Hillary win would be the same old for the banks and Wall Street. More money printing encouragement from her to juice the economy and pay for her lavish spending programs, which may jerk the stock market out of its funk and scream it higher, so say some. Others say Hillary will doom us to higher inflation through the very same spending that she plans and allow the banks through her ignorance to bring us to the brink of another world disaster, which will crash everything money. No one knows. On the other hand, we have the Donald. The Donald victory is the utmost in uncertainty. Trump knows more in his pinky about Wall Street than Hillary could ever hope to know in her lifetime, but Trump is vague in his plans. What he says he will do to the public and everything he wants to do is probably not the same. And public spending will likely be on the agenda, so he will be right behind Hillary with the national credit card blazing. Wall Street might like a fellow billionaire in control, but they too know not what this wild card will do. It scares many just what he might do. Will Trump build more weapons? Not that he could outdo the current administration in military spending, but it's possible. What do we spend now? $650 billion per year? Will he build more weapons? Will he use one? Who knows? I don't think Trump himself knows until the moment arrives, if it ever does. Will Trump build a wall so the price of Taco Bell goes up? Or will my Ford Fiesta cost more, not being able to jump a 30-foot wall? Will Putin go head-to-head with the Donald? Will Donald actually jail Hillary? A million questions of which I have no answers. Who knows? And that's the point. No one knows. We'll just have to see what the markets do when whoever gets in there gets in there. Jack be nimble and Jack be quick. Stay awake, ladies and gentlemen. My advice? Well, you could consult a qualified financial professional for your investing needs. And remember, no one can predict market movements anytime, anywhere. They are that difficult to discern. Keep up with your duck and cover drills and pray a lot. God might have to take care of us on this one. This, nor any part of Money Matters, is a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any securities. and should absolutely not be construed as investment advice nor an indication that I have any idea what I am talking about. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Tune to Money Matters on your community radio station. Thanks for joining me. My name is Mark. At the start of 2016, coal prices languished and were near decade lows because of waning demand from utilities seeking to curb pollution. And amid the International Energy Agency's declaration that the fuel's golden age in China was over, pressure from U.S. authorities and green supporters did not help matters for coal. Out of favor and hated, coal and the companies that produced it saw prices continue to erode with seemingly no let-up. From the website tradingeconomics.com, coal reached an all-time high of 139.05 in January of 2011 and a record low of almost a third of that at 48.80 in January of 16. But like a phoenix rising from the ashes, coal did not die completely as some had thought and others had hoped. The old investment theory, buy when there's blood in the streets, had apparently been exercised by at least some traders in recent months, as coal has made a rather startling comeback. Prices are set to record their first annual rise since 2010, should the trend continue. Eric Stasvith, an analyst at Arctic Securities who follows coal, says it's a commodity that's been on a slippery slide for the past 4 years, and it's making a remarkable recovery. The possibility of extreme weather from a two-year La Nina event hitting major producers in the upcoming winter could cause production problems. Severe rains flooded mines in 2010 and 2011. In Australia and Indonesia, the world's two largest exporters, and some experts fear the same could happen this year. La Nina. Lots of rain. China further boosting imports is another factor that could push prices even higher. There are some cross-current theories as well, as there always is when it comes to investing prognostications. Coal's competing energy source, crude oil, is near decade lows, with some projecting it to go even lower. If oil drops further in price, it will put pressure on the prices of all other energy sources, including coal. Additionally, the public's impression of coal hasn't improved much, and it's not likely to do so as the discussion over global warming is ongoing. The continuing interest in alternative energy is also not likely to go away anytime soon. These and other factors could weigh negatively on coal demand and subsequently its price, offsetting speculators that might be betting on the current uptrend. Regardless of where you stand on the issue of coal used as a main energy source, its recent resurgence in price is an interesting event, and it could point to the possibility that coal's darkest days, at least as a priced commodity, could be behind it. You're tuned to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. This has been the 239th edition of Money Matters, entitled Fall Diatribe. Now remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I'm an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. My name's Mark. Go make some money. And remember,
Money isn't the most important thing in your life. It's your family, your friends, your spirituality, your health, and the people around you who you want to help at all times. Have a great day. God bless you.